Let's rise to our feet, please. And close our eyes. Yes, you raise our two hands to the Lord. And sing this song loud and clear. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. Holy Spirit, take control. Hallelujah. As I walk along the way, the way is narrow. Oh yes. Holy Spirit, be my guide. Sing it again loud and clear. Holy Spirit, be my comforter. Holy Spirit, take control.
Hallelujah.
As I walk along the way is narrow.
Oh yes.
Holy Spirit, be my
comforter. Holy Spirit, move me now. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
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 How I long.
How I long. Calling your name.
Jesus. He has done it for me. Easily, he has done it for me. What I thought was impossible, he has done it for me. Easily,
he has done it for me.
Thank you for a time like this. And we praise your name for the gathering of your champions here. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Father, specially open the understanding of your children here today. Lay your hands upon our lives mightily. Teach us directly for your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Again, the 70 days prayer and fasting program is here. Just like palm of changing services, it is a covenant program of mountain of fire and miracles ministry. It is compulsory for you as a member to participate. In participating, there is a lot of benefits, massive breakthroughs, uncommon testimonies have happened as a result of this program since we started. And this year is not going to be an exception. There will be a mighty move of God's awesome power. It is my duty to let you know things you need to do, things you should not do, so that in a program like this you can benefit from it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And I want to say something too. You are shortchanging yourself and cheating yourself. If as a member of Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry, people are gathering in church for services, gathering in prayer city for programs, gathering there, but you sit at home watching internet or watching something else. The purpose we put them on air is for pure evangelism for unbelievers, not you. That the Bible has told, do not neglect the assembly of God's people. Don't convert yourself to an unbeliever. Don't convert yourself to somebody who should not mix with the people of God. Some will sit at home, they will show it, so they sit at home. It's completely different. But when you are gathered, the anointing in the gathering, the power in united prayers is a power that no other prayer form can tackle. If there is a bird on a tree, an evil bird, and they gave you a stone to stone it, so when you sit there on your own, you are just throwing your single stone, the bird may dodge your stone. But when you are in a united gathering like this, and all of us throw 1,000 stones at one bird, there is no way that bird will escape. That's the power of the united meeting. So don't allow the devil to use modern technology to turn you to a lazy Christian and to deprive you from what you call locational blessings of God. Some blessings will not manifest until you get to a particular location. Praise the Lord. One reason why the power level is going down amongst Christians is what we are discussing this morning. One reason why some people pray, there is no answer is what we are discussing this morning. One reason that the enemy has been able to enter into our lives is what we are discussing this morning. One thing that many people don't understand about how to connect God is what we are discussing this morning. One reason why the enemy finds it so difficult to cage so many people, why the enemy finds it so easy to cage so many people, this is what we're discussing this morning. One reason why somebody will run and run and run the race of Christianity and will not appear in heaven is what we're discussing this morning. One reason why Jesus can look at somebody straight in the eye on the last days and he'll say, I know you not. He said, I don't know you. So, Lord, what do you mean by you don't know me? Yes, I don't know you. It's what we're discussing this morning. So it's good to listen very, very carefully. I call this message the tragic famine. The tragic famine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The tragic famine. First Corinthians 13. I read a few verses from me before going back to it again. 1 Corinthians 13. This is a tragic famine. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am what? Nothing. Beloved, you will never find anywhere in your Bible where the Bible says God is faith, God is hope, but you will find God is love. There is a mystery behind love. There is something more powerful than faith. Really? You mean there is something more powerful than faith? The Bible says faith can move mountains. Yes, there is something more powerful than faith. Look at the power of faith to make whole. You will hear Jesus say, thy faith have made thee whole. He didn't say thy love had made thee whole. Yet love is more powerful. The Almighty God Himself, the Bible says, He is love. Love is the greatest thing in the world. Greatest thing in the world. And it is good to key into that process. Love has potent healing power, both for mental and physical illness. There is an expression in this 1 Corinthians 13 that shakes me to the roots. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. What a terrible word to apply to a human being. Nothing means not anything. It means not at all. Opposite of something. It means of no account. Of no value.
It's
non-existent. Say, I am nothing. That's what
he said.
So who is Mr. and Mrs. Nothing?
There are
people without love.
There's
so many of them in our midst. Praying fire prayers. Praying dangerous prayers, but not an atom of love. There are many husbands holding vigil every day, but they are wicked to their wife and their immediate family. Surely, if you find a man who can speak English, French, Spanish,
Latin,
Swahili, Hausa,
Igbo,
Yoruba,
you
will certainly say it's somebody. Surely, if you find a man who can communicate with birds, trees, and inhabitants in the world, and even the angels, you will certainly say it's somebody. His phone will probably ring non-stop. And he will be very rich. Surely, a man with complete knowledge of all future events will be regarded as something. Surely, if I know all mysteries and
could
answer all questions
that
scientists want to ask, they will declare me that I'm somebody. Supposing I memorize the whole of the Bible and every encyclopedia in this world, and I know everything in the dictionary, I will be regarded as somebody, as something. If I have faith to eliminate impossibilities, and every country is saying, come and preach here, come and preach
here,
you will say, I'm something. If I dish out millions and millions of naira to the poor every week,
and
I speak in tongues, I prophesy, I understand mysteries, I have knowledge, I have faith, I give alms to the poor, the Bible is saying, I
can
still do all these things and still qualify for nothing.
It's
nothing. It's nothing. It's vain. It does not exist. You can speak in multiple tongues. You can prophesy without love. You can have deep knowledge without love. You can have faith without love. You can have hospitality and generosity without love. You can sacrifice without love. You can perform spiritual activity without love. You can suffer persecution and die as a martyr even without love. The Bible says, if I can do all these things, I can prophesy, I understand mysteries, I have knowledge, I have faith, I could remove mountains, but there is no love. I am zero. Nothing. Beloved, here lies the secret why many prayers go unanswered. Here lies the secret why some will hold vigils and vigils and vigils and vigils, going from mountain to mountain to mountain. There is no love in their hearts. And God is love. God therefore cannot answer their prayers. Close your eyes, beloved. Close your eyes, beloved. Tell the Lord that every unloving attitude in my life. Let the blood of Jesus clear them away. Every unloving attitude in my heart. Blood of Jesus. Wash them away. Begin to pray now. Amen.
Ah, me?
The Bible says,
Bibeli wipe,
even if I give my body to be burnt, and I have not love, I'm nothing. There was a man called Thomas Cromwell. Thomas Cromwell was arrested for preaching Christ. And the punishment was to execute him by hanging and burning. Thomas Cromwell. So they locked him up. And they kept telling him every day, if you deny Jesus, we'll let you go. If you deny Jesus, we'll let you go. He said, no, I cannot deny my Lord. No, I cannot deny my Lord. He kept saying that. Then they tried to convince him. So what was the problem?
They
ask you to deny. Then you remain alive. Remain alive. And then you can still go to Jesus and confess your sins. They bombarded his mind with these things. Then that's okay if you don't even want to say you are denying. If you don't want to say so with your mouth, we shall write it down. You just sign.
You walk on forward, see.
Because he became weak. He signed. And his enemies were rejoiced. All of a sudden it dawned on him that he had disappointed the Lord who loved him so much. So he called them again.
And
said, I'm sorry. I will not deny Jesus Christ. I disagree with what I've signed. They were so sad. They got very angry. They dragged him to the marketplace. Tied him to the pole there and set him ablaze from the feet. They put fire around him and set the fire. Thomas Cromwell began to burn. His flesh started to melt away. He now stretched out his right hand into the fire. Himself. And he said, my unworthy right hand. You were the one that signed the evil document. You will be the first to burn in the fire. And he kept the hand stretched like this until that hand burned to the bone and dropped. And it was also burnt alive. What the Bible is saying.
That
even if you behave like that man, and you have no love, it's profited you nothing. It's nothing. The lack of love is the world's greatest sin.
If you
love your neighbors, you won't blow them up.
You won't
shoot them
down.
You won't gossip against
them. You
won't fight them.
A
lot of Christians go to church, but there is no iota of the love of Christ in
their heart.
And love is a practical thing. Practical thing. For example now, if you have about 200 dresses at home, and you see somebody with no dress, just one single dress all the time, and you cannot say, let me take a part of this and give to them.
It's
lack of love. Faults.
We were awareness.
Fat. While love is thin.
We wise.
Those who truly love are just one step from heaven. And true love never asks, how much must I do? But how much can I do?
If any to talk, you see what period,
money can build a house.
Owo o le ko ile.
But it takes love to build a home.
Sugbon eyan nilo ife lati ko idile.
And the most lonely place on earth.
Ibi to si je ibi akin juju to wa ni aye.
Is the human heart where love is absent.
O ni okun eniyan nibi ti ko si ife ninu re.
The world will be a better place.
Ile aye ta wa ye ko ba je ibi to sun.
When the power of love replaces the love of power.
Ti agbara ife ba sipo to ba paro agbara ife ti agbara.
Many just love power. They want power. They want power.
Opolopo le awon ye ko ko feran agbara, mo feran
agbara. No love in their hearts.
Sugbon ko si ife ni inu
okan. Love is the key that unlocks all doors.
Ife ni kokoro to ma nsi gbogbo ilepo.
Love is the only service.
Ife ni kan soso ni ise isin.
That power cannot command, power cannot buy.
Ti agbara o le pase fun, ti agbara o le gba.
And if you see a heart that loves, they always remain young.
Te ba wa ri okan to ni ife, won ma wa bi ewe.
Love will find a way no matter how crooked the ways.
Ife a ma ri ona titi re, bo ti mo ki ona na ko loju to.
True love is willing to help people, even if it hurts them.
Ife ni toto a ma fe lati ran awon eniyan lowo.
But if you are the kind of person, anytime they say, do this, what is in it for me? Do that, what do I get?
There's no love.
And Christians, we Christians here, believers, listen to this very well. It is impossible for two persons to hate each other and they say they love God. When you are out of love, you are out of Jesus Christ. This is a very, very serious matter. Where love reigns is where God reigns. And when you truly love, obedience to God becomes a thing of joy.
It becomes
a piece of joy. Like I told you here before, the Bible says, husband, love your wife. Husband, love your wife. It's not a suggestion. It's not an advice. It is a commandment. So you love your wife not because she's good, but because you have been commanded to love her. You love her whether she snores like hippopotamus, whether she forgets to brush her teeth, whether she's uncaring, whether she's unfeeling. The Bible didn't give conditions. Say, love your wife. It can't be like that. Did you know what my wife did?
Say,
the woman woke up and found me crying. And instead of saying, daddy, why are you crying? He said, why are you crying like a baby? Are you a baby? Nonsense. Stop crying and go to work.
So
is that the kind of person you say I should love? The Bible says, love your wife. It's a commandment. You say, why are you walking so slowly?
Call
say so it's because I'm sick.
Only to the
and instead of your wife to say sorry.
So
why are you always sick? Are you a woman? Are you having menstrual pain? You are a spoiled child. If you want to die, die. The Bible says,
people so we
in spite of that. It is a commandment. Love your wife. I gave this instruction somewhere. I think it's worth repeating today before we start praying. As we go into this 70 days prayer and fasting. Are you here? You have hatred in your heart against anybody?
There
is somebody you don't greet, you don't want to greet, you have said there is no way you are going to ever be together. You are making a huge mistake. The Bible says if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him water.
So
by so doing, you put out coals of fire on his head. And
there
is no way somebody will have out coals of fire on the head and the person will be comfortable. Men who love their wives don't ever beat their wives.
You
don't ever beat your wife for any reason. If you do, the love of Christ is not in your heart. Don't ever forget that your wife is your greatest asset. Don't ever forget to check the level of the peace of that woman regularly. I'm talking to the men here now. Don't associate with men that lack credibility. Don't ever hurt your wife, no matter the level of insults passed on you. This is for men. Don't ever just wave off the ideas, advice, suggestion of your wife as if she has no brain. Never treat your wife as a servant. If you do, the love of Christ is not in your heart. No matter how many mountains you go to, you are wasting your time. Never make your wife a negative example before friends and family. Don't compare your wife with anyone. I've seen men comparing their wives to new casters they have seen on television. Never cheat on your wife. You are cheating yourself. Never discuss the weak points of your wife in public.
And
never call your wife unpleasant names. Like prostitute, witch, fruitless entity, harlot, useless, bastard. Rather call her blessed, capable, beautiful, and virtuous. And that's what you will get. Never ever place your wife before family and friends for discussion. And never allow your parents and family to dictate what happens to your wife. And don't be the kind of men that they will add phone call, they will add text messages, they will add password, they will add hide everything from their wives. If you do, the love of Christ is not in your heart. And the Bible says, when husband and wife get together, their union in prayer is the strongest. This is one area in which the enemy just comes in and takes away our blessings. Our sisters who are here, accept your husband as he is, with the strength and the weaknesses thereof. Stop thinking that your way is always right. And don't be comparing your husband with other people. And those of you who are used to complain, stop complaining, communicate instead. And stop talking before your husband finishes his sentences or speaking. You interrupt him when he's talking. Let him finish everything he wants to say. And then you talk if you need to talk at all. And you as a woman, be a companion and not just a roommate. And always pray for that your husband. And make him your best friend. And do not quarrel in front of your children. And both of you should stop talking when you are angry. And learn to settle your quarrel very quickly before the enemy attacks your marriage. A lot of couples will take part in this program. I want them to be blessed. That's why I'm going through all this. And I want you to understand, love is a deep matter. And it's a very serious thing. Long time ago in South Africa, there was apartheid government there then, and there was a lot of violence. When eventually the black people took over government, they called for a peace and reconciliation meeting between the blacks and the whites. One black South African woman did something that shows what Christian love really means. They have invited the man who killed her son. The man killed, a white policeman killed her son. And they burnt the body of the son. And it was the only son the woman had. And as these policemen were drinking and having parties, they were turning the body in the fire until it became ashes. It remains just this woman and her husband. 8 years later, the same policeman came back and arrested her husband. And they took her there. They bound the husband. They poured petrol on the husband. And she was watching them burning her husband. South Africa.
South Africa.
As the man was about to stop talking, as they burnt the man in the fire, the last thing he said to the wife, he said, forgive them. Now there is a reconciliation meeting. They brought the black woman. They brought the policeman who killed the son, 18-year-old son, and who killed the husband.
It
was judgment time. They asked the woman, what do you want? This is the man who killed them. What do you want? The woman said, I'm a child of God. And I have the love of Christ in my heart. I want three things.
Say,
number one, let this man take me back to where he burnt my husband so I can give him a decent burial.
Secondly,
please, the court should command this man to be coming to me. To be coming to
me.
Every now and then. Because he has killed my whole family. So he should be coming to me to greet me. Let me be a mother to him.
Certainly.
So I want the man to know that I have forgiven him. The whole court was silent.
Say,
I've forgiven him. Say, although I cannot see very well, let somebody lead me to where he's standing so that I can embrace him, so that he can know that my forgiveness is real. As that elderly woman was led across the courtroom, the white policeman fainted. I've never seen that kind of expression of love and forgiveness before. Then somebody in the courtroom, when he saw what was happening, there was hardly any dry eye in that court that day. Somebody there in the court opened his mouth wide. And contrary to all court regulations, he sang, "Amazing grace, how sweet that sound, that saved." Like the whole of the courtroom joined the song. That is a practical example of love. So you that you are currently with this, currently with that, don't want to greet that.
You
talk to anybody anyhow you like. They did not treat you the way they treated that woman. They did not treat you like that. And they insulted me, I'm leaving. Where they slapped Jesus, they punished him because of you and I. I'm praying that spirit of brotherly love will come upon us in the name of Jesus. Let your amen roar like thunder. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple when you love one another. When we got born again, we had a baptism of love in the church. Somebody will write a prayer request. I've learned tailoring. I need a sewing machine. Please, let me pray that God should provide it. We arrive in church next year, we find a new sewing machine inside the church. Somebody has bought it for the person. And the person goes away with it. Somebody has something to celebrate. We all gather there en masse. We don't see somebody in church. In fact, the person will say, "Stop visiting me, I'm okay. I only travel. Please. So if you call yourself a group leader, call yourself a house worship leader, you call yourself this leader, that leader, choir leader, you didn't see somebody in singing practice once, you didn't see them in house worship twice, and you don't go out of your way to find out what has happened. That's the lack of love we're talking about. Your house worship leader, you didn't see somebody for some time and you didn't go to look for the person. This is the situation. The fact that we are praying fire prayers, we should be the most loving human beings on earth. We should be the most loving people on earth. And we should know what we believe in. I'm praying that that spirit of love will overshadow our lives in the name of Jesus. Let your amen roar like thunder. Bow down your heads again. Tell the Lord that all unloving attitude in my life, blood of Jesus, wash them away. Talk to the Lord now. You have the opportunity. Amen. In conclusion, let's go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
1
Corinthians 13. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. It means that the first mark of love is patience. Love suffered long. Patience. That is, true love is patience. It endures long. It's never tired of waiting. Love waits without murmuring. Love never gives up. Love is able to suffer. Flinging your wife against the refrigerator is not love. Be unfaithful to your marital vow is not love. I'm tired of this marriage is not love. Patience is the most outstanding quality of love. Any love that is able to turn to hatred overnight is not love. True love will go through fire, through sorrow, through trouble. But it will endure suffering and remain sweet and kind. Impatience against anyone is evidence that there is no love. Love learns to wait. There are many people who are, of course, very difficult to live with. But when love is in our hearts, we are patient with those who make life even hard for us. Love is patient. Question is, are you patient? It goes on in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Kindness is another mark of love, is love in action. Can you call yourself a kind person? Because if you must smear others with mud, you first of all stain your own fingers. So all the unkind words, unkind attitudes, shows lack of love. The Bible goes on.
Says,
charity envieth not. True love does not envy success, gift, talents, and possession of others. Some find it so hard to sit at the feet of young converts. They forgot that Paul was the last apostle. He came last and then he became a teacher. It means that you are not happy that God has exalted somebody else. It's envy. If you have true love, you will rejoice with those who have been elevated. So love is not jealous. Love is not possessive. And when there is envy, there is every evil work happening there. If somebody has said, when you put crabs in a basket or in a bucket, like you don't need to cover it, that the crabs need no cover for their basket. Because as one crab is going up, another crab will pull it down, and they will keep behaving like that. Many are like those crabs. I pray that kindness of God will enter into our hearts. The Bible goes on to say, in this scripture that we're reading, charity vaunted not itself, is not puffed up. And this love is humble, not boastful, does not vaunt itself, does not show off. It maintains humility. It does not make a vain display of self. Love is not proud, does not brag. It's not out for display. Love makes no parade. Love is never anxious to impress others. Love has no high opinion about itself. Love learns to be humble. At gatherings, those with love in their heart, they don't begin to request for special recognition, special attention. Do you have this humility in your personal life? It is a sign that you don't have the, if you don't have that humility, it's a sign that you don't have the love of Christ in you. And the Bible goes on. In 1 Corinthians 13, charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. At least it must have good manners. It seeketh not our own. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't get angry so quickly. It thinketh no evil. It does not rejoice in somebody's misfortune, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love bear all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And the last verse there says, and now abided faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Rise to your feet, beloved. Rise to your feet. If you are here in this meeting today, and you are listening to me, and you don't want to be a child of perdition, if anybody has done something wrong against you, go to the person and tell the person, reconcile with everybody. Don't hold any grudge against anybody, so that your prayers would not be in that. Right there where you are, bow down your heads and ask the Lord to forgive you for all the situations where unloving characters, attitude, habit has been displayed. Talk to the Lord yourself
now.
Right there where you are. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my ways and it again one more time. Father, we thank you for a time like this. As many of your children as have listened to this message, let the fire, the oil of the Holy Spirit, establish it in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Any hindrance towards our making heavens, towards our satisfying you, clear them away from our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's quickly bring out our tithes and our offering for this meeting. Father, we thank you for the tithes and the offering. A good measure, praise and falling over. Let it be our lot in the name of Jesus. Lay your hands upon us by fire. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet, please. And sing this song loud, very loud, as we pray our concluding prayers. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood, of Jesus. Can you say this loud and clear? My Father, my Father,
Baba me,
anoint me with fresh oil. In the name of Jesus, anoint me with fresh oil. With fresh oil. My Father, my Father, my Father.
Baba me.
Anoint you with fresh oil. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, my Father,
Baba me.
Advertise your power in my life. In the name of
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forget the Manna Water Program still goes on Wednesday. You come fasting and you break your fasting with the Manna Water. Immediately we close the service, the sisters have to wait for 30 minutes prayer meeting. It's compulsory for all sisters to wait for that short prayer meeting. Thank you, Jesus. Let us share the grace in fellowship.
The Lord.